It's that time of year again. My schedule is packed with bracket-busting, three-point shooting, nonstop basketball action. I don't want to miss a second of it, and I find myself staying up late to catch all the action. I can't be dragging the next morning. That's why I go for a 5-hour energy shot. They're perfect for my days packed with back-to-back games or when my favorite team is playing late. With over 15 flavors to choose from, like watermelon, tropical burst, blue raspberry, peach mango, and more, there's a flavor for everyone. On their website, you have the option to build your own 12-pack or 24-pack and have it delivered right to your door. And if you're out and about, you can always pick up a 5-hour energy shot at your local grocery or convenience store. They're everywhere. 5-hour energy keeps me going during the broadcast and the next morning when I need to get myself up and to work. Visit 5hourenergy.com for great deals and to stock up before the next tip-off.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
True North stores have Primo Eats and Pepsi brand products that are heavy on taste and light on your wallet. Right now, buy any Primo sandwich and add a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Handmade every day, Primo uses quality meats and cheeses. Complete the meal with a Pepsi. Grab any Primo sandwich and pair it with a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Get more with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your app store. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
What's trending?
What's trending is presented by Baker University, where graduates earn higher salaries and land jobs faster than any other university in Kansas. Apply today at bakeru.edu. Number one centers around the Royals. Of course, an opening day loss to start the 2025 campaign. 7-4 to the Guardians. We'll talk more about specifically what happened and what do we actually take away from that. But look, Reagans wasn't his usual sharp self. Kyle Isbell and Blanco, of course, had a base running blunder, to say the least, and the Royals will get back at it tomorrow afternoon. Seth Lugo on the bump, 3:10 first pitch at the K. Vern's on deck show at 2 o'clock right here on 96.5 The Fan.
It was fun listening to Vern last night. Turns out the owner of the team, John Sherman, listens to Vern on his way home.
It's
always good to hear it because you want to know what people are going to be saying. I think we'd be so pissed about the results and the one game. And what are you going to do, Vern, with this
team?
It
was calmer than I thought. Driving home from the K. And
I listened to it, too, just to see what people were at.
People were a little more level-headed.
Because I like listening to the caller, see what the tone of people is.
Gotta love the, again, the worst thing could be fans don't care, right? So it's awesome when there's passion. We say that all the time, right? That's why Kansas City is a great sports town. Like, you never want fan apathy. You never want that, and that's certainly not the case.
Sweet 16 last night delivered. That Duke game was actually pretty interesting towards the end. Of course, on the other channel, because you got them both at the same time, Texas Tech and Arkansas. Arkansas is rolling, man. 16-point lead over Texas Tech. It was the second biggest comeback ever in the Sweet 16. They come storming back, go into overtime, end up winning the game. Sweet 16 was good. You expect to get this when you have these good matchups.
Yeah, and then in the earlier game, Alabama just simply could not
miss. Oh, Sears miss. Could have been
so. It was unreal. We're going to talk more Sweet 16 later on this hour. But yes, it sets up, by the way, Elite Eight tomorrow. 3-seed Texas Tech, number 1-seed Florida. That's Saturday night, I think, a little after 5 o'clock. And then Alabama, the 2-seed, taking on 1-seed Duke. That one around 7:50 on Saturday. Oh, yeah, man.
Two good ones.
And then tonight, we got four of them tonight. Ole Miss, Michigan State, Kentucky, Tennessee, Michigan, Auburn, Purdue, Houston. Those are the games going on in the Sweet 16. Next up on What's Trending, we mentioned this news in the NBA. The Grizzlies have stunningly announced the dismissal of their coach, Taylor Jenkins. He's been with the organization for 6 years. The Grizzlies are not like having some terrible season by any means. They, in fact, I believe are like 14, 15 games above 500. Let me get the exact record. There it is, 44-29. They are in fifth place in the Western Conference. They've lost a game in a row, I guess, at this point in time. But like, I, something else. I haven't seen any reports yet. Let me know if you guys have. But clearly something else had to have happened here for them to fire a head coach this late in the year when the team's having success. Like, are we about to find out that, you know, I'm not going to accuse anybody of anything, but like, we know the past instances, like with Boston, where there's been, you know, somebody maybe was doing something with somebody else in the organization.
Hey, it's got to be something like that. He's like the winningest coach they've ever had. And Morant's been hurt. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, he's lost four of the last five games, but Morant's been out. But this is what happens in the NBA. And by the way, their odds have plummeted.
Oh, I'm sure. I'm sure they have. We'll have an interim head coach the rest of the season. I'm trying to find out who that was. But anyway, lastly on What's Trending, Bink.
Royals Roundtable tonight. Yeah. Hollywood Casino, Vern.
Yeah, I can't wait for this. Tonight, we're all going to be out there. Hollywood Casino, 6 o'clock.
Place your bets.
That you can do that as well. Vern will be hosting the Q&A with Michael Massey, Kyle Isbell. Plus, there's a meet and greet afterwards. You get some photos, some autographs. Must be 21 or older, right? It's at a casino, so hope to see you guys out there. And then, yes, already Pallier talking to guys around the building. We're going to be hanging out afterwards.
I should have asked Kramer. I saw Kramer, and Kramer's going to be there. I don't know if he's going to hang afterwards or not.
We'll be hanging out.
He said he would.
We'll be hanging out at the sports book. Talk to the folks at the sports book. I think we're going to be hanging out, watching some Sweet 16 games after the meet and greet stuff. So, yeah, it'll be a good night. Maybe a little craps, Bink. A little craps.
Do you have a bed in there?
A bed?
Yeah.
No. Although the recliners or the leather seats they have in the sports book, very comfortable. Very comfortable.
I haven't been in the book after they switched to ESPN Bet. I haven't.
It's very similar, just a little different color scheme. They took out like the turf or whatever that was there from when it was Barstool Sportsbook. But other than that, man, the TV wall's great. Be perfect for watching some Sweet 16 games, and it'll be good for Royals fans to meet Isbell and Massey, two really good dudes on the team as well. So it'll be a good night, man.
Yeah, good dudes and stuff. I don't know if we're going to get to it or not, but the Bills. The Hallmark
movie. I've gotten a lot of tweets about this.
Okay, because it's a Kansas City company.
Yeah,
They're doing Bills, a love story, just like the Chiefs.
It's
exactly like the Chiefs.
Are you a flying gold? Are you going to?
I think people have asked, how do they become an extra in Buffalo? Your friend, Gene Battaglia, as well, as well as Mike Shope, they were joking, like, how do we become an extra? I said, you just got to get the walk figured out. You know, someone said, am I going to be in the movie? Well, someone's got to park their car in front of a restaurant and walk down the street. So I am going to apply again, Bink. Why not? I will apply.
I like it.
And for the sake of the show, if I get accepted as well, you know, maybe I'll have to fly out to Buffalo. Fly out to Buffalo wearing Chiefs gear or something and see what happens. But I'm guessing it's going to be very, very... Look, Hallmark movies are all similar, but it is funny that the Bills are second fiddle again to the Chiefs off the field as well. Like, They're chasing the Chiefs. The only thing more embarrassing than this would be if Drew's Bengals did it. That would be it. We would be destroying you. They didn't want to do anything to do with Cincinnati is what it is.
Drew, since he didn't want to do anything with Hallmark, stop it. They heard, it's a Kansas City company.
No. Do you remember when Burrow wasn't going to do the quarterback? Remember with all that talk, is Burrow going to be one of the quarterbacks in the quarterback series?
Yeah, originally he didn't want to.
Mm-hmm. He didn't, but now he is.
Yeah.
This will be the Bengals' a love story Hallmark movie.
Yeah. Jamar Chase probably declined it. You know, they probably were going to do it, and then Jamar Chase thought he was too good for everybody, so he probably declined it. You know, that Cincinnati
Chiefs
arrogance that exists.
It should have been a Chiefs one and done, right, man.
Drew's getting fired up over
that's
there.
That's right.
They should have been the Chiefs and done.
Bink, it's
done.
It's the Bengals, not the Bengals.
Oh, Bengals. Oh, whatever.
Bengals.
Bengals. Bengals. Like a Bengal tiger, not Bengal.
Bengal.
No. Okay.
Jaguar. Bengal.
Oh, my gosh.
Right. Natty.
You guys good?
No, we're not.
I'm the rest of the hour.
I'm done.
You
for
sure?
The sake of the text line, I will spare you guys from being that person today.
You're going to be the next love story on Hallmark.
I didn't bring it up. I haven't brought up the Bengals at all today. You brought them up, Bink, in the first 2 minutes.
Bink did. I didn't. This was not me today. Bink, 4 minutes into the show, brought up Cincinnati. Not me.
In what way? What, you remember?
Are
they talking Reds?
I can't remember. I can't remember.
You diverted.
Yeah, we were talking Royals. We were talking Royals, and you somehow turned it into Cincinnati. Bank? It's actually the Bungles. That's correct. Anyway.
Oh, hell no.
I think it is. But let's talk some Royals baseball, shall we? Obviously, opening day did not go the way everybody wanted to, although the crowd really was. It was amazing atmosphere. The crowd was into it. We had a good time broadcasting live out there. And it hopefully, ultimately, will set the tone from a crowd's perspective for the rest of the year. It is game one of 162. And I want to get into some observations in a second from the game. Some things that I think you can have as true concerns. And there's some things that I think lean more towards overreaction. But one thing I don't believe Royals fans should do like we have done in the past. And that is, after a loss or two to begin the season in the past, and I think it was warranted in the past, we have said, hey, look, you know, they go 0-2, 0-3. Like, fans are going to already, you know, you're going to lose some fans right out of the gate and all this. And that should not be the case this go around. This team was in the playoffs last year. This team has a superstar in Bobby Witt Jr. on it. They have very similar roster to last year that made the postseason. There's only a handful of guys, not even a handful, I think three guys that haven't played in the postseason now that are really on the roster. You should not lose faith after an opening weekend series, and certainly not after an opening loss. But in the past, we have said, man, if they drop to 0-2, 0-3, oh boy, you're going to lose some fans. That should not be the sentiment this weekend. I hope they win both games the rest of the weekend. But if they are 1-2 after this weekend, or if they're 0-3, I hope that's not the case. I'm not saying I'll feel great, but we should not have the same, oh boy, well, if they don't win this series against Milwaukee, it's over. Like, that was a real thing that we have said in the past. I'm just saying, pump the brakes a little bit. I do think this squad, this current regime, has earned a little bit more than the freak out after two or three games, if in fact that's what happens the rest of the weekend.
0-2 last year, started off 1-3, took the White Sox to ignite the Royals. They went on a 7-game winning streak after that. But I think things are different. You mentioned the fact they've been to the postseason. I think that matters because it proves they can do it. It's not like a pipe dream. This team lost 106 games, and boom, the next year they go and make the postseason. It's more accessible to be able to view the games if that's what people want to do. You had two guys in the top four of Cy Young voting. You have a legitimate MVP candidate, favored on FanDuel, as a matter of fact, MVP candidate in Bobby Witt Jr. There's reasons to like this team, and I see people that have kind of gravitated towards a player or two, like it used to be. I remember going out to Fan Fest in like 2012 and stuff like that, and you know, there'd be a few Royals hats and shirts and stuff like that, but then it became like everybody. You looked at it, it was a sea of blue. Everybody's got Royals gear because they didn't have it in their closet. They had all, it was all Chiefs stuff, and they didn't have the Royals stuff. Then the Hunt for October and stuff like that, the shirts they had in 14. But now you see the Royals license plates. You see people wearing Royals gear out. You used to not see it. People are buying into this team. It's a very likable team. They have likable players on the team, like the Sasquatch, like Vinny, and like Bobby Witt Jr. And, of course, Sal Perez is always a hometown favorite here with the Royals. But it's a lot like those teams. You know, people like Moose and Hosmer fans and, you know, and then Sal Perez, of course. And, you know, people gravitate towards certain players. This team's got those guys. So I think that that's what will keep people interested.
Now, with that said about the early portion of the season, there are multiple things that happened yesterday. Some, I think, are going to be continuing questions that we've had for a month or two throughout the offseason. And there's some others that I'm not as concerned about. For example, this one right here, though. This simply cannot happen at the major league level.
In comes the 2-2 pitch. Ground ball third. Runner's going to try to score. The runner at third, Blanco's caught in a rundown. And now they are able to tag him out. Now the runner to second is caught between second and third. And racing back towards second out there. And then they tag the runner who came back from first base. And the Royals really botched that.
Yes, they did. Denny Matthews on the call on 96.5, the Fan, yesterday. That one, like, there's no sugarcoating that. I mean, we all saw that. That's as bad as it gets on the base pass. And I know they had some base running issues last year. Like, that's one of those where you heard the boos in the background. I mean, that is more than warranted, right? Like, that's unacceptable at this level from both players involved in that. That's one where I was like, do I think that's going to happen, you know, throughout the entire season? Like, last year they had some base running blunders. To that extent, of course not, right? That's about as bad as it gets when it comes to base running. What, to me, is fair to still linger past opening day, of course, is the questions we've already had, which is the outfield. And there was nothing that you saw out of the outfield yesterday that should change your mind. The questions, right? Are you going to get enough offensive production? Is it going to be good enough, you know, defensively? I actually think in left field, they'll be fine defensively. In center field, they'll be fine with Isbell defensively. Right field, Hunter Renfro, he had a bad day at the office. It was not pretty, no, to say the least. The arm, is the arm shot all of a sudden? I don't know if I want to go that far, but those are some throws yesterday that we've seen far better from him in the past, and then we all know about the bat. And so if you were going to talk about things from yesterday that actually matter all year, I actually think the outfield concern is still there. Am I worried about Cole Reagans not being all that sharp? No, I'm not worried. Am I worried about Jonathan India going 0-for-5? No, that would, to me, would be a complete overreaction to be concerned about Jonathan India. Bobby Wood Jr., 3 strikeouts. He struck out twice last year, 3 times or more in a game. Twice. And he's done it once on opening day now. I'm not worried, I don't think any of you are, about Bobby Wood Jr. But the outfield, the production from guys outside of Vinny, Salvi, Bobby in India, those are the concerns we already had. Whether yesterday, if Hunter Renfroe would have gone 5-for-5, would you guys be sitting here saying you think he's going to be an MVP candidate?
No.
You know what I mean? Like, Vinny Pasquantino's not hitting 162 home runs. You know what I mean? So, which is,
he's on pace.
He is on pace. That is true. Factually, he is on pace. Thank you. That's true.
Yeah. Hey, to get over 100 RBI this year, too. I mean, he's had 3. But on opening day,
basically, was a 100 RBI guy last year.
They just can't make the small mistakes, because this team, you're not used to them doing that. This is where they let other teams make those mistakes, and Cleveland tried. You know, you almost had the collision there in the outfield that turned into good things for the Royals. You see the third baseman and catcher run into each other. You're seeing the mistakes that the Royals wait for other teams to do, and then they take advantage of it. But it was happening to the Royals, and they were losing. The good news was they got the Class A. I mean, that was the good news, because he wasn't good. He was great in the regular season. 3rd in Cy Young, 6.61 ERA, very good. But he gave up 8 earned runs in 8 innings pitched in the postseason. And we're seeing that kind of parlay itself into the regular season. Guys do fall off that cliff really fast. That was the one good news as far as the Royals were concerned. But it's just those little mistakes where the Royals usually wait for the other team to make those mistakes, not themselves.
There are a few other things that I think we'll see a lot throughout the season, though. That was just, we knew this going in, how they handled left field. So later in the game, we saw Michael Garcia pinch hit for Melendez. India goes to left field. We knew during spring training he was getting work out there. Then Garcia went to third base. I actually thought India in left field and in third base was pretty easy. He got tested right away in the game. We're gonna, that exact like switch, we're going to see, at least early in the year until things get settled more, we're going to see that happen time and time again. So get used to that part of it. What did you make of the bullpen? Because we know last year, up until Urseg, that was a huge issue for them. Yesterday, you know, Angel Zerpa, who we know they really, really like, first pitch, gives up the home run, then he ends up getting out of the inning. It's one pitch. Then Hunter Harvey, Lucas Urseg, and Carlos Estevez looked really, really good. How much do you take from the bullpen? Because those three, Harvey, Urseg, and Estevez, ultimately are going to be the three guys that are going to have to really be the main pieces of this bullpen. And those three did show up yesterday.
I like the bullpen. I like the makeup. I like what they did, kind of structuring this thing. And give the manager time. You know, give Q time to get things working out. Because it took Ned, you know, sometimes a month through the season or whatever, to figure out exactly what you want to do. Who's going to be in that circle of trust for the 7th, 8th, and 9th. We get there, even though we kind of know who's going to be those guys for this team, but who's going to be your setup guys? Just let it kind of all play out for this team. But I'm perfectly fine with this bullpen. I don't care about performances. I just like the hitters, just like Jonathan India. I don't care. We know what he is. 21st in Major League Baseball and on base percentage last year. He led the Reds in that. This is what he does. That was an anomaly. What happened yesterday? Again, if it happens on a Tuesday night, in mid June against the Twins, who cares?
Right. It's game one. I mean, look, in the clubhouse after the game, a lot of the media were surrounded Vinny Pasquantino. And he acknowledged, like, there's the, even as players, sometimes there's overreaction to game one because of what you just said. Like, there's 161 guaranteed of these left, and hopefully more, right? But 161 of these left, and yet so much focus. That's just how it works in baseball, right? So much focus is on game one. It's just the nature of how this whole thing works. I do think, though, the one part that I thought we learned kind of how this is going to go last year or even in his first year as a manager in Q, we know they're analytically driven. He is, and so is the organization now more than ever. And he's matchup based. So I know there's some criticism of the decision to walk Carlos Santana to get to Manzardo late in the game. Manzardo had a hell of a day at the office, but they played the matchup. It got him that time. they're going to keep playing the matchup, and a majority of the time it does work for them. I it's a criticism. You can be critical of it. I don't take as much issue with that decision, walking the veteran Carlos Santana to get to Manzardo, who I believe this was his first opening, not his MLB debut, but his first opening day.
You stay with what works. Like playing poker, you got to go with the odds.
Correct. If you stick with that, that same scenario, you play that out another 100 times, 10 times, yeah. It's the Royals will come out in a much better spot. It's one of those days. I know nobody wants to hear that, but I truly don't have a problem with Q's decision to walk Santana against Manzardo. It made sense. If you look at it, made sense to do that, but he had a hell of a day at the office.
No, he didn't. People have seen Santana here. Obviously, there's built-in thoughts about Santana there, but it makes sense. It's the matchup-based deal, what you do. And this is a guy that's done things against the Royals in his career. But you go with the statistics, you go with what works, because guess what? Like you said, 10 times out of 10, it's not going to happen 10 times out of 10, but 7 out of 10 times, you're probably right.
We'll get to the Sweet 16 coming up in 10 minutes. Unbelievable games yesterday. 4 more tonight, as a matter of fact. And we also have a random question of the day. I don't know if Drew's got one for us, but we'll have that around 1240, 1245 or so coming up on the show.
As soon as you said that, I was like, oh, do we?
We can talk draft.
A draft question of the day? We got some time.
I will come up with something.
I'm confident you will have a random question of the day for us.
I will have one.
By the time we get to
1240. It could be very random.
That's fun. That's what it's called. Also, it's a fan club Friday in the 1 o'clock hour today. We'll have a couple drinks. We'll lay into the rest of the sports calendar a little bit more that we haven't got to so far in the show. We'll go ahead and do that. I don't know if we'll have CDOT or Rob stop by, but that was the original plan. So we'll see. In the meantime, though, the NFL is voting next week to decide on a couple rule changes. Yes, the tush push has gotten a lot of headlines. The Packers are taking the brunt of the blame because they're the sponsor, if you will, of that. But one thing that I think is going to pass is the touchback kickoff rule. So the touchback's going to move back from the 35-yard line, or to the 35-yard line, I'm sorry, from the 30-yard line. I was skeptical last year of the new kickoff rule and the landing zone. I didn't really like it. 3 weeks in, I said it's pretty obvious they need to move the touchback to be more of a penalty, because otherwise teams are going to decide to just kick it through the end zone. And while kickoffs were up, that is what teams did most of the time. And so this rule change would make it more.
I remember talking about it.
Yeah, very early on in the year, it was obvious.
Like, man, there's teams just going to kick it on through.
And they did. So do you think moving it to the 35 will actually solve that? For those that just want it to go back the old way, it's either this or they're going to get rid of kickoffs. They're not going back to what it was in 2012. Sorry. Like, that's just not what they're going to do. Even much as I know fans would like that for safety reasons and otherwise, they're not going to do that. So this is what we got. And if you want more kickoff returns, this is a good thing. And if your reaction is, well,
which kind of goes against the whole safety thing.
I know. Yeah. I know. But like, if your reaction is putting it at the 35 is way too easy, that's the point. The hope is that teams will say, we're not just giving teams the ball at the 35. We'll go ahead and kick it. It's supposed to be a deterrent. That's the idea behind this. I argue how they could have put it at the 40, Bink, and I would have been fine with it.
Just move the kickoff back. I mean, that's one way to do it.
Why won't they do that?
It should be Belichick.
Why won't they do that? Why would they rather
move the kickoff back?
Why won't they do that? Why would they rather do the touchback? Is it a safety thing or what?
It's hard to play safety game.
I'm trying to figure out why.
Yeah, I don't know. That's the easiest thing to do is just move the kickoff back. But of course, they have to tinker with the onside kick, which I'm glad they're doing, saying you could do it any time in the game. I just got two major problems with it. One, that you have to be behind to do it, not ahead or tied with them. You got to be behind to do it. And two, you have to declare it. What's the point of doing that? Hey, we're going to run. Hey, we're going to pass. No, you're not going to declare onside kick. You do it as a surprise. And obviously, you can't do it the way kickoffs are set up now. But just move the kick back. That makes sense. That would make the most sense. Put more pressure on the kicker to get the job done.
The part you don't like, though, about this is on the onside kick aspect.
The onside kick doesn't make any sense because two things. One, strategically, you ought to be able to do it even if you have the lead. You just build a bigger lead. I mean, we've seen teams do onside kicks before when they have a lead in the game. Put teams away. You can't do it. The element of coming back at the end of a game is always appealing to people. What can we do to get our team to come back at the end? Do you have that quarterback that you trust to get the job done? That's why you may go for two points during the game at certain points.
Onside kicks are a waste of time,
like,
though.
2.5% onside kick rate to get him. They can be done properly if they're done properly, but then they changed the rules on you couldn't have everybody on one side of the line of scrimmage. Remember, you had to keep them equal on both sides of the ball. They changed that rule. But the fact that you have to declare it, I'm glad they're letting teams do it earlier in the game besides just the fourth quarter. Yeah. That's a step in the right direction. But to me, just fix the whole thing before just fixing little parts of it. Like, hey, you can do it the whole game. No, you shouldn't have to declare this. Oh, obviously, they'd find out because of your alignment. But
I just think the onside kicks are a waste of time. I would be fine,
they do
actually.
Work, but
I would be fine with just getting rid of onside kicks.
No, right?
And if you're saying, no. They're converting them at 2%. 2%. It's a waste of time. It's happening like twice a season. Three times a season.
I think makes on
it's a waste of time. I would rather the alternative kickoff be put in play. The 4th and 20 idea. That would be way more exciting.
Any team ought to be able to do whatever
that would
want.
Be exciting. Also, no winning team though in the third quarter up by 2 touchdowns is going to want to kick an onside kick because you're got a 2% chance to get it back. You're not no winning team. No team that's ahead. I should say.
No, you're not going to under the new rules. But before you would have done it, go back.
No,
to the
you
way
wouldn't.
Kickoffs
no,
were.
No.
Kick back and just do things the way they were.
They are a waste of time. I understand Sean Payne did in the Super Bowl, but if you have to declare the onside kick, there is no team, even if you were allowed to while ahead, that would choose to do the onside kick.
What if you got a kicker just very good at it, hitting the bounce,
but
gets up in the air?
That doesn't exist.
Exist.
No, it doesn't, though. 2%, nobody's good at it. It's 2%.
I think Binks' thing is
like, if I had a kicker that could kick, if I had a kicker that can make 90-yard field goals, I'd do it. You know why they don't do it? Nobody can kick it 90 yards.
I think Binks' thing is it's useless until it's not. Like the one time that it works, if it's actually something that wins you a game, then it's not.
Give me the alternative, man. Give me the 4th and 20
alternative. Is better, yes.
Would you be in for that, Bink? A 4th and 20 alternative. Teams trailing, they can say convert a 4th and 20, and if there's a penalty on the 4th and 20, the same thing applies. If it's on the defense, it's a pass interference, and it counts as a conversion. If it's offensive holding, then the 4th and 20 thing is no good. There's no redo the down or anything.
Okay,
it's just
so
over.
You know why the percentages went down? Because you have to have several players on one side of the line of scrimmage. You have to have two, at least on the other side. It used to be you could line up every single person on one side.
But that's what I'm saying. They've made onside kicks even less effective.
Well, I'm with you on that. Just give teams an opportunity to come back at the end of the game.
Did we clarify though that if they did do the 4th and 15 thing, would it be they just get the ball 15 yards down the field, or let's say they take a shot and they get a ball that's caught at the 20-yard line? Do they start at the 20?
My understanding is yes, they would get the ball wherever the play ended.
Okay.
Yeah. That's why I'm intrigued. That would be exciting. Now some people will say that's gimmicky. I get it, but then let's just agree that the onside kick is also gimmicky at this point with the way that it is constructed. It is a waste of time. It's not even an exciting play. Like, save me the onside kick drama. There is no drama on onside kicks anymore.
Yeah.
There's not.
Yeah.
Half the time, the ball just skips out of bounds, or they don't kick it long enough anyway.
Oh, and by the way, they're saying that the players are a yard closer than last year. The new rules.
The receiving team is a yard closer?
The kicking team.
The kicking team.
They would be up there a full extra yard.
So it's nine yards that they have to clear.
Yeah, so they're giving one more yard to teams if they decide to go ahead. They're trying to increase the onside kick.
I will say, for them to say we're going to move you up a yard, that makes it sound gimmicky. We need to increase the chances just a little bit. We're going to move you up a yard.
Look, I don't even know what the right percentage is. I'm not saying that we should onside kicks. I don't want onside kicks converted at a 20% clip. I'm not arguing that. That'd be insane too. Although that'd be drama, all right. But can it be like 7%? 7 to 10% of the time.
You're not
like
making a mockery
5% of the time.
You're not making a mockery of the game, but it turns very gimmicky for that one play. Yes.
All right. Up next, let's talk some college basketball. The Sweet 16 last night delivered with an overtime game. Plus, we got four more tonight, and we'll work in a random question of the day right here on
Nerds. Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Making financial decisions shouldn't feel like filling out basketball brackets. Too many choices, too much noise, and no one wants a busted budget. NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast cuts through the clutter. Their finance journalists break down real-world money decisions with clear, research-backed insights. From investing to home buying to credit cards, the nerds help you navigate major financial decisions with confidence. Make smarter financial plays today. No luck required. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
Thumbtack presents the ins and outs of caring for your home. Out. Uncertainty. Self-doubt. Stressing about not knowing where to start. In. Plans and guides that make it easy to get home projects done. Out. Word art. Sorry, live, laugh, lovers. in, knowing what to do, when to do it, and who to hire. Start caring for your home with confidence. Download Thumbtack today.
And now, two pigeons who can't believe how good humans have it with DirecTV.
These humans are hopping from streaming apps to live sports without batting a wing.
All from the DirecTV home screen.
With just one click, you could be watching a baseball game, a movie on Netflix,
or a critically acclaimed documentary.
You watch documentaries?
I love the ones that leave you with a question.
What?
Exactly.
DirecTV, a better way to watch whatever you want to watch. Visit DirecTV.com.
Internet-connected Gemini device, separate Netflix membership, and additional paid subscriptions required for third-party apps.
It's no surprise that facial hair is personal. It grows from your face. That's why Dollar Shave Club makes the razors, but you make the rules. Whether you're going smooth shaven or maintaining a beard, Dollar Shave Club offers shave and grooming products that are always high quality, but never overpriced. Dollar Shave Club products are now available everywhere. Or visit their site right now for 20% off $20 or more and get your products delivered right to your door. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/shaveup and use promo code SHAVEUP for 20% off $20 or more. And remember, whatever you shave, welcome to the club.
College holds a mythic place in American culture. On the new Campus Files podcast, we uncover the scandals you won't hear on the campus tours. Find Campus Files on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Cody and Gold. Coming up in about 10 minutes, we will get to the random question of the day. It's Cody and Gold, Alex Gold, Drew Nixon with you. Jay Binkley filling in for Cody today. You're telling me something during the break. A little contract news in college football right up your alley. Deion Sanders.
Yeah.
Brand new deal with Colorado, huh?
Hey. Colorado's Board of Regents have approved a new five-year, $54 million contract for Deion Sanders, making him one of the highest paid coaches in the country.
Well deserved.
This is from Brian Howe. They're, I guess this Ross Dellinger put this out here. His contracts or applications to the school have increased by 20%. From a year ago.
That's
what it takes.
Makes sense. The profile of the university's gone up. We have these stories come out even just around the NCAA tournament, too, from a college basketball end, right? A smaller school. I remember when I was in Wichita briefly doing radio, it was right when they went to, they had the perfect season. Remember, they went to the Final Four, but they had the perfect season. Applications at Wichita State went way up. We hear these stories all the time. Florida Gulf Coast, when everybody found out how beautiful the campus is after the Gulf Coast team went on that run way back when, the applications went up. So Colorado from a football end.
From out of state. There was a time that Alabama actually had more out-of-state students than in-state students. You know, they make more. And tuition on that, but that's when Saban had that up and rolling.
Well, I don't know if other schools do this. I don't know if KU does this or Missouri or K-State, but I remember growing up in Indiana getting letters from the University of Alabama that they would give me in-state tuition. They'd give people in Indiana, Illinois, and I think Ohio in-state tuition to come down there. They want to expand their reach into Gold's Point. It's really interesting how you could have, there's very, very few schools other than maybe the Ivy League schools that aren't influenced by their athletic departments in terms of school size. Like Butler, for instance. Mm-hmm. The only reason I knew about Butler in the first place, even though it was in my own backyard, was because of college basketball.
Is that why you went there? I mean, like, why you started to have interest, I guess, in going there.
I think I enjoyed watching them play, or I enjoyed watching Butler and got an interest in them because of the college basketball. Yes, it had nothing to do with just them being in Indianapolis.
So news out of Boulder.
Good for Deion.
5 years, $54 million deal. Salary is doubled. In 2025, he'll make $10 million. $10 million in 26, and it gets as high as $12 million in 2029.
He might be a top five highest paid coach then.
It said he's one of the highest, So when I hear that, I think, top five, top ten. Yeah. One of the highest coaches. But doubling the salary, I think it's well-deserved, the profile that he's presented now for Colorado Boulder.
I'm just glad he stayed there.
Well, that was a story for now that his son's gone.
Because remember, Colorado had a hard time. Yeah. They put his contract out there, but paying him, remember? They didn't exactly have the money in the bank to pay Deion. I'm just glad he didn't, hop to the next thing. And people thought he would at this point. So I'm kind of glad he's staying, especially when Stewart leaves and Shiloh, he's going to stay there. Because it's more fun for the game of college football when they're relevant.
Also good for the Big 12.
It's very good for the Big 12.
And in the area, too.
No, that's
they
were point.
The big winners when Colorado was transferring to the Big 12 to have that kind of draw.
Yeah, someone texted in 913-586-7965 said, hey, I don't feel like he'll be there for 5 years. I think a year or so ago, the expectation was always that he was going to leave. Now, do you think he's going to another college job? Is that your point? Because I actually think
I think it would be college.
The NFL thing, I think, is not happening. Okay, this would have been the year for it to happen.
Florida State would be the one.
The question is, do you think in 5 years, if he keeps having success, he gets an opportunity in the SEC or Florida State, but you know, an SEC school? I think that's possible. I don't think your worry now is that he's going to jump to coach his son or sons in the NFL. It's just let's say Colorado does win the Big 12 in a year or two, and I don't know how good they're going to be next year. Who knows, right? But let's say they do win it in the next year or so. Does he get an opportunity? But
There's pressure on Mike Norvell at Florida State this year after they went 2-10. It actually could pave out perfectly for him to go back to his alma mater.
All right, let's talk some college basketball, though, because the Sweet 16 started last night. We got four more games tonight, but two of the bigger headlines from last night. One, Alabama, record amount of threes made. They just could not be stopped by BYU. And it's not like BYU only scored 60. That was not the issue. Alabama scored 113 points. They simply could not miss. They attempted, what was the final number on threes? Like over 45 threes or something like
that. 66 shots, 51 were three-pointers.
51 three-pointers in the game. It was a sensational offense performance. So Alabama moves on. They take on Duke now tomorrow in the Elite Eight. Duke did what we've seen many, many times, right? Cooper Flagg is the best prospect for a reason. And they will be one win away from a Final Four. Then late last night, game ended up going to overtime. I thought Coach Cal was about to have his team in the Elite Eight. Arkansas led by 13 with 4:22 to go on Texas Tech, led by 6 with 1:10 to go. And Texas Tech, who looked awful in the first half, found a way to tie it up, and they win it overtime, and now it's Texas Tech and Florida in the Elite Eight. That was a hell of a win. I'm sure you guys saw the video and photos of Mahomes, who was all fired up about his alma mater, obviously.
Yep, down 16, found a way to come back, and I'm actually looking forward to, I think, that Alabama-Duke game. It's gonna be fun to see what, because Sears was, 10 of 16 from 3-point?
Which school do I dislike more? I think the answer is Duke, but I don't know. I'm not a big fan of Alabama either, but
it should be a fun
game, though, if you're talking from a matchup perspective.
Yeah, I think it'll be a fun matchup. But it's fun if they're hitting the shots. It's terrible watching a team continually try to shoot three-pointers that are missing.
Case,
yeah, that was actually...
If you live and die by the three, you mean when they die, when they're dying by it. There's nothing worse, yeah.
Yeah, someone's going to watch them attempt 40 on Saturday, and they're only going to make 10 of them. Yeah, if you're a Duke fan, you're like, oh, good, they got all their shots out of the way.
I mean, that kind of was BYU. They were 6 of 30 yesterday in that game, too, from three. So Sears was taking shots
from half court almost.
They were really good, but
making them.
Yeah, it was.
BYU had some troubles.
What about tonight? Four games, and we hope to see you guys out at Hollywood Casino for the Royals Roundtable, which starts at 6, and there'll be a meet and greet with Michael Massey and Kyle Isbell. But I'm planning on watching some Sweet 16 games with you guys tonight as well at the sportsbook there.
Oh, Vern will be watching Michigan.
Four games. Yeah, Vern, Michigan is going to be at 8:40 or so. But the first game, Ole Miss, Michigan State, 2-6 matchup. Kentucky, Tennessee, 2-3. Michigan, Auburn, that's a 1-5. And then 1-4 matchup between Purdue and Houston. What's the one that you guys are most kind of excited about? Can Tom Izzo pull this thing off again? We always talk about Izzo in March, and to his credit, while his team, I think, has been the least impressive of the remaining teams, that doesn't really matter all that much, right? If they just keep on winning, that's the one where I find it hard to bet against Michigan State in this game, despite how good Ole Miss has played.
There's some good storyline. I think Houston-Purdue, like, how good is Houston? You really buying in to what Houston is doing? Are they all that? Are they capable of winning against
Houston? Houston gets slept on. Houston gets slept on so much.
They do get slept on. And Auburn, Michigan. Is Auburn really worthy of being the number one overall seed?
I thought Florida was. I think Michigan would give them a hard time.
8.5. That's a lot of points to cut. I mean, Michigan's getting 8.5. Feels like a lot of points.
I'm not just saying that also because I'm in some Michigan gear today, but
Why are you wearing Michigan gear?
So my dad's a Michigan fan. I've got some Michigan
gear.
All
Big Ten. You were wearing Wisconsin gear last Friday or Thursday.
Your socks are Purdue socks.
You're a Butler grad. Correct. And then you're wearing Michigan gear. I mean, Michigan, Wisconsin, those are rivals.
And Purdue socks.
Yeah, Purdue socks.
I don't, of the three that you mentioned, I don't care for Purdue. But no, like, look, my dad likes Michigan. Obviously, I support my dad. More some Michigan stuff. You know,
he's got an Auburn cooking apron too. It's unbelievable.
I will say this: as long as they're not playing Wisconsin, if Michigan wins, you know, that's fine. I actually just ordered some some more college gear last night.
Why aren't you
an Indiana fan? I mean, I know they're not in a tournament, but Indiana.
I can't stand the Indiana. I'd rather Purdue win than
you're
IU.
You're from Indianapolis.
Man.
Yeah,
I'd rather
good
Purdue
football
win
team.
Than IU. I'd rather Purdue win than IU. Anyways, I ordered some North Carolina Blue gear. Beautiful color. A new Wisconsin shirt.
Because of Belichick.
No.
Chapel Bill.
Chapel, man, that's right. Some Carolina Blue shirt. A new Wisconsin shirt, and then a Arizona old, a vintage logo.
Someone's right. You are perfect for, like, sure. Whenever there's, like, the gear sale, you know, like, somebody's got clearance stuff.
Hell
and
yes.
Most people
that,
are like, well,
me.
If it's
that's
not,
me.
Like, for me, if it's not totally. Chiefs, KU, or Royals, I'm not interested in buying it.
He's Rally House's best friend.
Drew is like, it doesn't matter what school, what team. If Drew wants Bengals gear, Chiefs gear, Raiders gear, Michigan gear, Wisconsin gear, it doesn't matter.
Someone said they're going to send me a Nebraska shirt. I don't have a Nebraska shirt.
He'll
so
wear it. He'll wear it.
I can only imagine when you were a kid how many different jerseys you had. Let me ask you this.
I had a Barry Sanders reversible Lions jersey.
Riddle me this. Riddle me this. The Royals hats yesterday.
Oh, those, but the whole uni combo was amazing.
I liked it. I liked it a lot. But it was very similar to the batting practice hat. Like, if you go to look to buy one of those hats and you go on, like, Fanatics or anything, it'll say Royals BP hat, because it does say just Royals on the back of it. Then that has the actual new era.
The batting helmets were sick.
But is that the batting practice?
Those are hats?
These are just the I don't know how often they're going to wear that. The
only
Powder
on
Blues.
Saturdays, I think.
And opening day, obviously. So Saturday's, I guess they'll wear it tomorrow. The helmet, the whole look is great. The batting helmet, because of the gloss finish, looks even better than the hat. The batting helmet is amazing. That's my favorite. The whole look was awesome. I know some people didn't want them to wear that hat with the Powder Blues. I think the whole thing was great.
We don't have much change in Kansas City with our sports teams. It's not like you're watching Arizona Diamondbacks or Oregon Ducks.
Yeah, someone says Drew's the new Drake. When it comes to teams, that's all. They're not saying for anything else, you know, Drew.
No,
for uniforms,
I thought
you know.
Adopted
no.
K-State.
No. If Wisconsin is, if anybody's playing Wisconsin, whose gear I have, I'm rooting for Wisconsin.
You got everybody's gear.
You have
every team in the Big Ten.
I'm not rooting for those teams. I just like college sports, and I wear college gear. But my team is Wisconsin. Don't get it twisted.
I thought you like K-State now. You're here.
Of all the local teams, K-State is the one that we determined I would root for, and I root for K-State.
But you kind of for Missouri. You kind of like Missouri, too.
If K-State is playing Wisconsin, if Missouri is playing Wisconsin, if KU is playing Wisconsin, as much as I love the three local universities, I'm sorry, it's on Wisconsin.
Do you like the Royals now?
The Royals are great.
Oh, is that your baseball team?
Yeah.
He doesn't have one, so he might as well.
I've got some Royals.
He's not a Reds fan.
I've got some Royals gear. I'm not a Reds fan.
It's complicated, man.
You're a Chiefs fan
yet?
My
fandom is complicated. I'm not a Chiefs fan and never will be. Sorry about you.
Like he is.
Drew hates winning, so we've determined that already on the show.
If you follow my sports teams, actually, you could come to that conclusion.
You had a Washington State jacket on the other day.
I did. Shout out to Wazoo.
I have a Washington State hat.
I got that jacket, by the way, at Ross for like $15. Market price like $90 on that jacket.
Yeah, there used to be some company who'd have like blowout sales or something. It was just random college.
It was probably Marshall.
No, it's not that. It was some company that makes them. I forgot, but you would have loved this. It's not like Russell or I can't remember the name of it, but they would have warehouse clearance at the end of the year. It'd be all these random colleges and stuff. And Drew
would have bought anything.
I'd be all over it.
He'd been all over it.
If you get me in the right thrift store that's got like, you know, a bunch of college stuff, that's a dangerous place. You want to get to a random question? Because I've got
Let's
one.
Let's do it.
Well, I'm random curious why question. Wisconsin, though.
No, because
he just said, didn't he say his dad?
No, his dad likes Michigan. No, that was Michigan.
Oh, Michigan's your
my,
dad,
my grandparents, who we were very close with, lived in Madison for my entire lifetime. Okay. No longer with us, unfortunately, but we'd go up to Madison 2, 3, 4 times a year. We went to hockey games, basketball games, football game. We went to all the stuff.
Then why aren't
you
a Packers fan?
Because I rooted for the Bengals first.
it's very confusing.
Back to the boomer
science. Gear for sports is what you're thinking.
Gear for sports.
Gear for sports.
I like who I like, so don't get on me.
What's the random question of the day?
913-586-7965 for the Jay Southland Tow Service text line, for you, Gold, for you, Bank as well. So I went to ChatGPT for this, of all things. I was like, hey,
really?
You know what?
We're using AI for random questions these days?
I was like, hey, give me some random questions.
Oh, my goodness.
And there's one that I was going to use, but I think Cody used it actually a few weeks ago, so I'm going to use this
Wait,
one.
Wait, is he using AI for our random questions now? Is that what we're doing?
I don't know, but it's a very similar one to what Cody had.
Or did he use Grok?
Yeah, that too.
If you could switch lives with a fictional character for a week, Who would it be character. And why?
Oh, man.
It could be animated. It could be a real life. It could be Jerry Seinfeld. Who would, I guess, even though Jerry Seinfeld is a real person.
Yeah.
But for the show, like George Costanza, you'd want to be George. I don't know. Fictional character.
So it can't be a human.
It can be.
Hmm.
Like if you wanted to be Matthew McConaughey and We Are Marshall, then by all means,
Who wouldn't want to be Bond, right? Now, people are after you. People that are shooting at you. But who wouldn't want to be Bond?
I was Al Bundy say, that's would be the, extremely interesting.
That's the one.
Al Bundy.
Or Spider-Man. Griswold. Just being able to just fly everywhere would be incredible.
If we're doing animated, I'd want to be Beavis.
Building the building. What's
if
that?
If we're doing humans, I'd coach. Remember Craig T. Nelson as coach? Minnesota State? Back then, Minnesota State.
Yeah, I think these. We got to clarify the question because it's either
Norm,
fictional character, as in like, are we talking superhero stuff or are we talking just?
I was doing in general. It doesn't matter. Like, if you wanted to be Bob the Builder, then you could be Bob the Builder.
Okay. You want to be SpongeBob SquarePants?
Yeah. Man, Norm would be fun though. Just sitting at the bar. I might go Norm
for the 913 Thanos. I mean,
I'm gonna go Norm because he just goes to the bar and he sits there and drinks beer. I'm gonna go Norm.
That's perfect. That's perfect.
Someone wants to be Goku. All right.
Beavis, if we're doing animated.
Someone says, okay. Hugh Hefner back in the day. Are we just now just doing any people you would wish you were, period?
Yeah, Hugh Hefner is a real person. So
Vinny Chase from Entourage is a great answer, text line. Great answer. Entourage, Drew, have you finally seen that?
Oh, no, I've never seen Entourage.
It's a little dated, but back at the time, it was one of my favorite shows. Vinny Chase is a terrific answer. Someone says, Peter Griffin. Because he's shooting out of his league with Lois.
someone said, I will be Scooby-Doo. That's a good
Bink,
one.
I don't know if you've been that's here on one. Shows. Where Drew is, him and his wife watch Scooby-Doo all the time.
Would have gotten away with it, too, if it wasn't for you meddling kids.
Reggie? Like, whoa.
Scooby-Doo.
Yeah.
Let me ask you, what do you think Shaggy was smoking in that van?
Because they always had like this. Something. They all were smoking something, guys.
Someone says Wolverine.
Scarface, that's a good one.
Yeah. Sophia Vergara's husband on Modern Family. That's
well. Tony Stark is the one that I was going to say. From the 563. I think Tony Stark's a good one.
Mm-hmm.
Unlimited money, rich. You have Jarvis, you know.
Yeah.
Superhero.
913-586-7965.
Could be, yeah. Beavis and Butthead.
I mean, the stereotypical one in lobby, Batman, right? Like, for obvious reasons, people mention Batman. That's probably...
That'd be fun.
Someone said Mr. Incredible. All right.
Charlie from Two and a Half Men, back when it was Charlie Sheen playing the Two and a Half Men character.
Doug Heffernan on King of Queens.
I never got into King of Queens.
He always had the work, though.
That was never a show I got into, King of Queens.
Minnesota State, you know what I'm talking about, Drew.
What?
Do you remember that show?
Wait, what?
You didn't remember that show.
What show?
Alex, are you old enough to remember that show?
No. Coach?
The show Coach with Dobber Dubinsky and Luther Van Dam.
Yeah,
and
no.
Craig T. Nelson is coach. No. Minnesota State.
I've heard of the show, but I was too young. The show ended in 97.
They should show reruns on
it. I was 6 years old when it ended. So I know the name, but I never watched it.
Have you ever heard the name, Drew? I mean, it's a classic.
Drew is from 89 to 97. There's no
way. Fesco loves that show, too.
I was 2 years old when that show ended.
Or the show Wings. Did you ever watch Wings?
No.
After Cheers?
Heard of Wings. Again, too young, Bank.
I've actually been in Cheers, the old Bill and Finch Club. I've been in Cheers, yeah.
Someone said Johnny Bravo.
Yeah, remember. I once took a leak in the oldest bar in America.
What's that?
I was walking downtown Boston, and I had to take a leak. So I walked in there, and it said... Oldest bar in America. It's like, well, I got to drink a beer here.
Yeah.
So I just went and ordered a beer. I just would have gone in the bathroom, but if I'm going to pee in the oldest, bar in America,
so what's wrong with you?
I'm going to drink a beer there.
It's a classic Bink. Could be Superman, but would rather be Al Bundy.
Al Bundy would be really cool, man. 4 touchdowns in 1 game.
That is very Bink. That is a very, very Bink thing. Yeah, no question about that.
And someone said, I would be the guy walking on the street from the Chiefs Hallmark movie. Hey, Gold is a real person, guys. He is a real individual.
No, but what in the movie,
correct.
Ooh,
you know?
Willie Beeman.
Otherwise, you can't say Vinny Chase either, I guess.
Correct, or you can't say Batman, obviously.
Someone has Willie Beeman. The Miami Sharks, baby.
Tony Soprano.
That's a good
one. Did you ever watch Willie Beeman? You're watching Willie. You remember when someone did a draft profile and compared somebody to Willie Beeman?
Was that an SNL skit or what?
No, like in reality, someone compared someone to Willie Beeman. Do you remember that?
No. Wait, a draft analyst actually said he reminds him of Willie Beeman.
Yeah, do you remember that?
Who did that?
I don't remember. I'll look it up. But someone actually, you talk about bizarre draft profiles. It was.
We love a good comp.
It was funny, but Willie Beeman, man, that was a good one, man. That was great.
That's right. Yes.
There's no language in this, is there?
Have the dump button ready.
I guess so.
You might want to cut it off there.
Willie Beeman.
Ace Ventura, that's the first one we've got from that.
Like that. Forrest Gump seems like an interesting life. All right.
Jenny. Willie Beeman draft comparison. We've seen some good ones. You should have seen when Mahomes was drafted, all the like C pluses the Chiefs got, all that.
Yeah, but you really wanted Deshaun Watson. I remember in your mock drafts you had Deshaun Watson.
That is not true.
All the mock drafts. It was crazy, Drew. Bink wanted Deshaun Watson so bad in Kansas City. So bad.
And now look at him.
No.
Here you go. Yeah. This is just in a humorous NFL draft comparison, an AFC North coach likened Teddy Bridgewater to Willie Beeman.
Goodness. Wow.
He made a comparison during the 2014 draft. The context, the comparison was made during the 2014 NFL draft, a time when Bridgewater was highly discussed quarterback prospect.
Bridgewater won a high school championship as a coach and then got signed by the Lions during the playoff run.
But he was compared to Willie Beeman.
I feel like I would end up being somebody who I feel like I could impersonate a little bit, you know, like Bane from Batman.
You think you can impersonate him?
We need Gotham to burn to the ground.
You could be Shaggy.
Yeah, he's done the Shaggy already.
I don't know if I'd be able to do it again.
Raro!
Reggie?
What about George?
That's more
Jetson?
Scooby, though.
That is the random question of...
Very random. Shout out to ChatGPT for giving us a random question.
Random question of the day.
There's like a million answers, though, really.
Brought to you by Awaken 180 Weight Loss. Results every week, then receive free support for life online at awaken180weightloss.com. In the 1 o'clock hour, we're going to get to a little fan club Friday. We have some new stuff to drink. I haven't had it before.
Oh, yeah.
I saw a sign for it at the ballpark. We'll tell you what
beer,
it is.
Right?
No, it is not. There's some beer in there for you, too, if you want. No, it's some good stuff. It's perfect. The stuff we have is perfect for this time of the year, Bink.
I don't do seltzers.
We got other stuff. What about vodka?
But what if it tastes good?
What about vodka? Because that's what we're having.
What if it tastes good?
It's fine. I don't care. It's not beer. I like beer. I said you both the picture. You guys ought to see my Coors Light collection I have in the fridge.
I was going to say,
I have like a mini liquor store in my garage now.
Sent me a picture.
People are saying, Drew, are you drinking it? They did not think your Bane was Bane. It was a little high pitched.
What do you want a picture of?
We need Gotham to burn to the ground.
I don't think that's the right. I don't think that's Bane.
No. What do you want a picture of?
I think that's Bane.
I'm going to play Bane coming back from break. Or maybe I can find something.
You said Batman Bane, right? From Batman?
Correct.
What do you want a picture of?
No, Bink sent me a picture of his of the Coors Lights that are just stacked.
And you
sent me that this weekend. You were like, I'm locked and loaded. I'm ready to go.
I'm locked and loaded.
He had about 5 32 packs of cans.
Yeah. Always have to be prepared.
All right, up next, we're going to find out what we're drinking. It's something new. I'm excited to try. We'll do that. Plus, I want to talk more about what actually concerns you out of opening day for the Royals. And maybe somebody else will join us during Fan Club Friday. I'm not sure. That's next.